Guns blaze in the action-packed drama of Gunsmoke.
Around Dodge City and in the territory out west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a state marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
Gunsmoke is a story of the violence that moved west with young America. It's also my story. Me, Matt Morgan, U.S. Marshal. I'm the first man to look for and the last they want to meet. Right now, I'd say Dodge City's full of hombres hoping they won't have to look for nor meet the law. Not for a few days, anyway. After that, they'll all be gone. Back along the trails leading to the various spreads. I'm talking about the cattlemen, cowpunchers, and breeders in Dodge after the big roundups, the beef sales, with money enough to harass the whole town. Yes, sir. High-spirited bunch, not much harm in them, so as to do my night around the saloons and the joints, I'm not looking very hard. Not until I'm approaching the Plaza Saloon. Well, I'm a lot of yards away when I hear some piano player inside the place playing one of those mournful ditties. I'm figuring that, well, perhaps I can skip the Plaza when something changes, not only my mind, but also the piano players. Now, usually when you hear a piano switch tunes, it doesn't mean trouble, but when the switch is brought about by shots, then it's the signal that some fellow's getting the might too trigger happy, not satisfied with helping to raid a town, but getting ready to lead others into tree in the town. So you make for the trouble spot of the run, as I do.
Faster! I said faster with that piano. Come on, come on. You want me to make you with ease?
All right. All right, everybody, just take it easy.
Hey, what's the matter with you, huh? Get that piano of yours going
over. Hold it, fella.
Huh?
Hold it. Let's see your holster, your shooting irons nice and neat, huh?
You're talking to me, mister.
To you.
I don't like your talk.
Well, now that's too bad, I guess. How about hosting
your...
Wait.
Now, wait a minute. You telling me what to do?
Yeah.
Is that a badge on your waistcoat?
Don't you know Marshal Morgan?
Marshal Morgan. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the great Marshal Morgan. Yeah, the gun-smoking lawman of this One Horse Creek crossing they call Dodge City. All right, Marshal. All right, Mr. Marshal Morgan. Let's see you try telling a red-blooded Texan cowpuncher to holster his guns. Let's see you try it again, huh?
Texan, holster your guns.
Fine. Fine, that's just fine. The mighty fine and brave of you, Marshal Morgan, lawman. Now, let's see. Hey, watch this, fellas. Watch this. Now, let's see you make me.
Well, what do you say we don't have any trouble, huh?
Yeah, but I like trouble. I sure do. I like this kind of trouble.
Cowboy, why don't you hit the hay?
Mr. Marshal Lawman Morgan, you're just spinning the words that don't mean a thing. Did you know why? Because you're scared. You are, and rightly so.
Of what?
Of a red-blooded Texan. Of me.
All right, Texan.
You hear that, fellas? The great tough Matt Morgan scared.
Oh, boy, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't what?
I wouldn't boast. Not with two guns in your hands. Two guns I'm taking. Like this.
All right. Show's over. Start playing again, fella.
Jed, Jed O'Brien, you Max Draper. Pick up the text and carry him to the Calaboose.
I will do that if I'm you, Marshal.
As you nod, I can't stay. Easy with them, boys. Pick it up properly. Just keep on whatever you were doing, Mr. Lee, this be. Hey, Kenny Cross, hold those bat wings up for the
Why
boys.
Why not leave the Texan be, Marshal?
You got a home to go to?
Maybe.
You appear to be sober.
Appearance is often wrong. Like the law taking a Texan to the local Calaboose.
So I'm wrong, am I?
So wrong, you're making the law look a fool.
Stranger to Dutch?
Maybe.
I said stranger.
I said maybe.
Look, I don't know you. I don't want to know you. Now, what say you be on your way, huh?
Oh, you make me tired. Why?
Clem? Clem Mailing, Pete, pick up this critter, too, huh?
Okay, Mark.
Follow Jed and Max to lock up. Yeah, seems that before the night will be gone, I'll have quite a few in the cells. All right, fella, you go in the next cell.
Are they gone, Marshal?
You mean the fellas who brought you both here to the jailhouse?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've gone.
The Texan, the cowboy?
See for yourself, still out to it, Lou. Why?
Garson's my name, McCann Garson.
So?
Is there some place your office may be where we can talk?
About what?
$20,000.
Start walking straight ahead. It brings us to my office.
Good. You won't be overheard. And that's my story, Marshal. I stand to collect $20,000. See this thing through, and you won't be sorry.
And you can prove this story, Gus?
I can. Same as you could by riding out Salt Fork Mine.
Mm.
It's just on 160 miles, right slap in the middle of Comanche country.
Yeah, I knew there were prospects of gold out that way, but I never realized that... Look, Gaston, tell it to me again, only slowly this time, huh?
Well, as I explained, I'm what's called a commission agent. I
yeah.
buy, sell anything for a commission. Beef, wheat, hides, fodder, real estate, leases, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and once in a while, along comes a deal involving a mighty big commission, big enough to kill for. Like this one. You agree?
Well, I've known men to kill for less than $20,000.
Oh, I can't say I blame this Galico for trying, but I wish he hadn't picked on trying it with me.
Yeah, Galico, huh? You've never met him?
Never met him, never seen him. Never met anyone who done either.
Mm.
So I just can't get a description of him.
All you know is that he's threatened to kill you.
Plumb dead.
But so far, he's made only one attempt.
Well, which was close enough. Bullet fanned the back of my neck.
Now, why didn't you come to me in the first place instead of pulling that stunt in the plaza?
Well, I figured it looked more natural, that's all. And, well, I sort of figured this, too. If Galico was watching me all the time, as I've been told he is, and he saw me approach the law, he'd know he'd started to get me word yeller. But that this way, picking a fight with the law, getting myself buffaloed cold, lugged to the local Calaboose, if that ain't natural, then I don't know what is.
Well, look, I could have given you protection in another way.
Marshal, I've been told that no one breaks out of your Dodge City jail. To me, if no one can break out, it follows no one can break in.
So
here I am, begging you to keep me locked up for a week. All I ask is that you refuse me any visitors on account I don't know anybody in Dodge. Except, of course, Miss Bundy. Miss Bundy Brixton. You know Miss Bundy?
Well, I know most dancers here in Dodge. Part of my work, so... You want me to keep you locked up for 1 week till the bar arrives?
Rick Joseph's bar, and he'll be coming in by stage day week.
And you don't know him by sight either?
Oh, there's no need for that. You see, this?
Yeah, $10 bill ripped in half.
Sure, Rick Joseph has the other. So all I've got to do is wait for someone to come up to me in a week's time, hand me half a $10 bill which matches this half, and then hand over the papers and the lease and everything to him.
Mm-hmm.
He, in turn, well, he hands me the commission, $20,000.
Which I hope you'll pay into the bank pronto. Otherwise, it'll be a big temptation for this Al Galico to still carry out his threat, huh?
Oh. Unless you kill him for me first.
Just like that?
Oh, no, not quite. There's a bonus to this, $1,000.
Oh, you're a strange man, Gaston, mighty strange.
How come?
You expect me to protect you from this unknown, unseen would-be killer?
Correction, Marshal. Not a would-be killer. He's in earnest, no pretense. From what I can gather, he's killed before.
You expect him to kill you for $20,000, yet you expect me to kill him for $1,000,
eh? Five is the absolute top figure I'll go.
Yes, and I ought to bounce your head against that stone wall.
What?
Toss you in a cell, book you with everything, including attempted bribe.
Marshal, a bribe? Did I use that word, Marshal?
Bonus.
Oh, well, that's better. Yeah, bonus is a bonus. But not for you, Marshal. I'm sorry if I gave you the wrong impression.
Oh, what impression is the right one?
Well, I imagine that even in such a thriving city as Dodge, there's a deserving sheriff, eh?
Yeah, there is.
Well, and kill Al Gallico, and then you name the sheriff, and I'd pay it $1,000.
All this elaborate business. Well, why go to all the trouble, Gaston? You look a reasonably intelligent man. You don't appear to be frightened.
Marshal, I am frightened. I've never been so all-fired scared in my whole life.
Over something that might not happen, someone who might not exist.
Marshal, I know. I feel it in my bones. Deepest hunch I've ever had. I just know that Al Gallico's out to kill me. Not just because I'm me, but to get that piece of $10 bill I've got.
Mm-hmm. Your proposition is I keep you alive, you pay $5,000 into a charity I name.
Well, that's right. Except for a slight error. $1,000.
Bless you, Keith.
Oh, sure, sure. I couldn't expect the Dodge City taxpayers to keep me now, could I?
Yeah. Well, you can bunk in the cell next to the Texan.
Oh. Well, thanks, Marshal. Of course, you won't mind visits by Miss Bundy.
Look, this place is the local Calaboose, not a boarding house.
But Miss Bundy, she's a close friend of mine. The fact is, I'm thinking, well, when this is all over, I'm thinking of making her my secretary.
And take her back east, I hope.
Oh, why, sure. I figure. Marshal, blow out them lamps. Hurry, blow them out. There's someone at the window with a gun.
I said, kill them lamps.
Relax, will you?
Relax? You tell me to relax when I saw a face looking in here?
Sure.
You promised me protection.
From all but Miss Bundy Brixton, didn't you?
Yeah, from all but... Say, was that who...
Yes, she'd be pleased to know her face is...
Marshal. Marshal, I...
Well, come on in.
Hi, Marshal.
Hello, Bundy.
They told me you were here, honey darling.
You, you know the marshal, don't you?
Well, who don't in this crummy... In this town.
I take it you don't like Dodge.
You take it right, Marshal man. And as soon as my honey dog here makes a lot of sugar...
It's back east for us, isn't it, honey?
Sure. But say, what's going on here? Why you and the Hoos Gal, for Pete's sake? I did hear you took a swipe at the law... Marshal, when you release my honey doll on bail, maybe?
If you mean Gaston, sure, I'll release him.
Look, don't let's be too hasty about this, huh?
Oh, I get it. You and that Gallico hombre...
Sure. And do you mind treating it serious? If Gallico gets me, then he gets 20,000. And you get yourself stuck here in Dodge without me, huh?
Marshal, do you savvy this business? Me, I don't. Garson claims he don't know what this Gallico looks like. And the only way he can identify the other critter, the one paying over the money, Rick Joseph, only way he can be identified is by matching a torn currency bill. It just flamboozles me.
Well, ma'am, I've known of other business deals to be handled in similar ways.
Loco, that's what it takes.
Listen, honey, why worry you for a hit about it, huh? It just helped me keep alive until the deal's over, that's all.
How?
By not letting on I'm staying in the Hoos Gal my own free will. Let everyone, all the folk, believe I'm being held on the charge of, disturbing the peace. That's all right by you, Marshal?
Sure thing, disturbing the peace it is. Now, I figure it's time we lucked up for the night, huh?
You're not going to leave my honey jar unguarded all night, are you?
Oh, no, I'll bunk here, too.
Sure. Over there, I suppose.
What's wrong with that? It's a comfortable billet.
No doubt, but Ain't it a long way from the cells? Or are you letting Garson bunk here, too?
Oh, no. Me for the cells, sweetie. Ain't no one broke out of them, which means no one can break into them. Get at me, savvy.
All right. You know what you're doing. I'll see you tomorrow.
Well, in the afternoon, say around 2.
Oh, well, no.
Garson, I'm doing you a favor, can't you understand?
I'll be around at 2, so don't get in an uproar, honey. You just go right off to your little cell and get yourself a lot of sleep. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night, sweetie. Night, Marshall.
You can get back to your rooming house?
But of course, unless you like to escort me.
Good night.
Night. Pleasant dreams.
It's time to be locked up, Garson.
What? Oh, yeah, locked up, sure. Mm-hmm.
Right this way. I'll carry the lamp.
Hey, that's right pretty, too, Marshal.
Yeah. Here we are. You figure you need extra blankets, just reach out and help yourself.
Oh, thanks, Marshal. I reckon you made me right comfortable. I guess I've stayed in worse hotels in my time.
Inside.
Sure.
I suppose you have to lock me in. Well, if you want to be right out of harm's way, sure do. Well, good night.
The rest of the night passes uneventful. Comes morning, I release the now sore-headed sullen Texan to tell him to fork leather out of Dodge and stay out. He looks hard at me, thinks twice. The moose is without further trouble. I tend to one or two things, fixing for meals to be brought into my star border.
Wow, it's not too bad, Marshal. Not too bad at all. In fact, better food than I've had in this city so far.
As a slice of pie under the cover, so I'm told.
Oh, my appetite is...
What's the stirring for? I'll take it. Here, read it yourself.
What? Being in jail don't save you none. A.G., say, where'd you get this food? Who put that note in the pie? A.G., that's Al Galico. Oh, don't stand there shining your star, Marshal. Go out and use it. Find that hombre. Find him before he kills me. Go on.
Check back on where I get the food. It's the same place I always get it. They assure me they're just as much bamboozled, hogtied, and thrown as I am. Well, find nothing, learn nothing, so the day lingers, dies. Night passes uneventful. Next day is... kind of cold, windy, sun breaking through for only 10 minutes at a time. Garson asks if he can use the exercise yard to get warm. I tell him, sure thing. We both go out to catch some of the sun.
Ah, wow, sure nice to feel it on your back, huh?
Yeah, in winter, sure.
Yeah, the sun's kind of friendly in winter. Opposite in summer.
Yeah, it can be a killer out in the Badlands and the Mesa.
Yeah.
Hit my ground! Hit against the wall!
He nearly got me!
Where
did
he came from?
Come inside! Get me away from here!
Easy now. Move along the wall. Keep down low. Go on. It won't be hurt if you keep down low enough.
It's that Galico, I'll tell you. It's him, Ronald.
Okay, inside, quick!
Hey! You bar and lock that door after us.
Sure thing, sure.
I wish I hadn't ever put a stake in this deal now. You gotta do something about this, Marshal.
I want action. I want this crazy loon caught and hanged.
For what?
For attempted murder. Hey, ain't that enough to hang a man in these parts?
I tell him it could be. Could be. Lock him in a cell, leave him with a gun, then take a walk around the Plaza Saloon. As it's by now late afternoon, I find Miss Bundy Brixton in the dressing room, getting ready for work.
I'm due out there in about 15, 20 minutes. Sit down.
Thank you.
Say, first time I entertained the law, so how'd I go about it,
By answering questions.
By answering what kind of questions?
The kind about Ken Garson.
Such as?
Such as how much you know about this business.
You mean this Salt Fork mine deal?
And the person calling himself Al Galico, also the hombre known as Rick Joseph.
Think Garson told you?
Oh, he's told me. So now you tell me what you know, huh?
Me? I don't know nothing from nothing, Marshal. Garson is tight mouth sometimes.
How long have you known him?
Why?
Oh, no particular reason. He hasn't been in Dodge, Run.
That's how long I've known him.
Get you going back east with him after this deal.
Hmm? Marshal, what gal wouldn't jump at the chance, hmm?
To go back east or to get her hands on $20,000?
Marshal, how long can you lock a gal up in the calaboose to slap on the law?
We've all got to eat, I guess.
Yeah, we all got to eat. Now, if you don't mind...
Sure. Need I ask you to see me if you remember anything that'll give me a lead?
No need.
Thanks.
Don't mention it. Marshal?
Yeah?
No, I guess you wouldn't. Shut the door. So long.
Marshal, I've been figuring.
Now you recollect something solid, huh?
I recollect this. If Gallico kills me at a distance like he's been trying, how's he figure he can handle the deal with Rick Joseph? I got one half of the $10 bill. Rick Joseph got the other, so all right. So this Gallico kills me in jail, say.
Yeah?
Well, he's got to reach my body to get to the bill. You get my drift?
Oh, yeah. It's what I call the softening process.
The softening process? You mean soften me up for something?
Yeah, soften you up, scare you into being only too glad to hand over the torn half the dollar bill before this Rick Joseph is due in.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's the trail he's taking, Marshal. I guess it is right enough. You see, this Rick Joseph, the organizations he represents, well, they don't care who got the other half of the dollar bill. They don't care at all, so long as it's handed over with the Salt Fork papers. And in return, this Joseph just hands over the $20,000.
Why go to all that trouble about the $10 bill? Well, why wouldn't the handling over of the papers be enough in which to pay the commission?
On account of the papers in a deal like this are easily forged.
Oh, I see.
The only way Joseph's got to tell he's getting the real genuine stuff is by this torn bill, you follow?
Yeah. And the actual papers are still on you?
Yeah. And they stay there until Joseph shows up on the stage.
Well, then I figure...
You figure what, Marshal?
Don't talk and say anything. There's someone trying to reach the window.
What? Well, now, I'm...
Look out!
Did you get it?
I'm going for... Listen. Yeah, tell Garson I guess this bunk's carrying the gunny. Even in his state, Garson realizes that by the time I could get outside, the ride would be well out of sight. Yeah, this whole business is getting me now like heel flies, making me feel there's something all-fired loco about it. Well, loco or not, I gotta play it out till it's over. And over it finally is with the arrival of the stage late after sunset. As the passengers climb down, I ask, which is an hombre named Joseph, Rick Joseph. A dark, well-dressed fellow says he's Joseph, and who wants to know? Well, I tell him. The fellows meet at the jailhouse, the other half of the $10 bill is produced, papers change hands, and so does a leather pouch bulging with money. Well, Garson isn't troubled to count the $20,000. Not all of it, only $1,000. While he's counting this donation to charity, the stage leaves again, taking Rick Joseph. Finally, the excitement dies. And as Garson finishes strapping the pouch, he says,
well, there's $1,000, Marshal. And with it goes my thanks for what you've done.
Well, I'd rather you handed the money over yourself, Garson.
I'll do it.
What? Bundy, what are you... Hey, you're toting guns.
I know how to use them. So reach, Buster, and you, Marshal.
Huh? Howdy,
Al Gallico.
Shove over the pouch, Garson. Come on, shove it my way.
But I don't get it, Bunny. What's
shove it over, Buster. Then turn around, both of you. Turn around, face the wall, and keep reaching.
But you're cluttering
and do as I say. You too, lawman.
Well, that's your thing, lady. You mean you want me to turn around like...
Well, I guess there's nothing left for me to say, Marshal. I won't stick around for Miss Bundy's trial, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure thing. I know how you feel.
Yeah, she sure had me fooled, huh? Mm. Well, I wish I knew how to thank you, Marshal.
Well, $1,000 will put a new roof on this jailhouse, but $5,000 to build a new wing for women prisoners.
That well?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll go get that money pouch right now, so stick around for a moment. Stick around.
Join us again next week as Matt Morgan fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Gunsmoke is written by Ronald Ingleby and produced by Jim Bradley for Arcansa.
Days in the action-packed drama of Gunsmoke.
Around Dodge City and in the territory out west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a state marshal and the smell of Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke is a story of the violence that moved west with young America. It's also my story. Me, Matt Morgan, U.S. Marshal. I'm the first man they look for and the last they want to meet. Come in. Ah, it's you, Christy.
Yeah, I was passing by, so I thought it'd save you walking up to the office for your mail.
That was right thoughtful of you.
Pleasure, Matt. Only hope they don't mean extra work for you.
Mail is the usual run-of-the-mill assortment, except for one letter. Comes from a fella in the town of Silver Peak. It's about 70 miles south of Dodge. It reads...
It's turning into an outlaw's paradise here, Marshal, this town of Silver Peak. Once it was a quiet, law-abiding place. Now it's starting to draw gamblers and card sharps, rustlers and robbers. The sheriff ain't doing anything towards driving him on. Maybe he's turned yellow. But I figure he's being paid not to interfere. I reckon you ought to pay us a visit. Only I wouldn't come dressed like a marshal if I was you. You might put the sheriff on his guard. Come as a drifter. And you might look me up in the general store.
And it's signed?
Sean Weris.
After a few of my experiences, I'm always wary that letters like this aren't a trap to lure me to outlaw towns, just so fellas that have a grudge against me can try to gun me down. Well, I'll read it again, decide it's probably on a level, pack my saddle roll, ready to ride next morning. It's a 3-day ride to Silver Peak, and it's late in the afternoon when I'm near the town, wearing no badge, but instead a 4-day growth of beard, trying to hide my features. Doing the best to look like a drifter, like the letter suggested. Ride into the town proper, slowly, looking well about me. Expecting trouble, ready for it, but it doesn't come. In fact, most folks don't pay any attention to me at all. And if they do, just throw a passing glance and go on their way. The center of the street is side of fancy-looking new painted saloon, the Greenhorn. Well, the saloon's always a good place to get information and gossip. There's room at the hitching rail, so that's where I make for.
What can I get you, man?
You got a sarsaparilla?
You joking, mister?
Too thirsty to be joking.
And what'll you have to quench it?
Didn't I just ask for a sarsaparilla?
You really want that stuff? Only Toledo. I better serve it up before you change your mind.
Yeah.
I got a bottle or two somewhere. Never thought we'd ever sell any of it, though. Boss was thinking of donating to a Christmas party for the kids. Yeah. Reckon this is it. Dusty, ain't it?
Thanks. Say, does that stuff put hair on your chest like you got on your face?
Why don't you try some and find out, Joker? Well, I empty my glass to take a look around the saloon. The fellas standing around drinking, four card tables going.
How many for you?
Two.
Okay. For you?
Two.
How about you?
I'm sitting.
Okay. I'll buy three.
And it's the card tables that attract my attention. At least not the tables, but the four players at one table. Particularly a fella dealer. I move across to the game.
And bet five. Uh-huh. Yours and another ten, Joe.
Well, level it and add another five. Yeah, I can never deal myself a good hand. I'm through.
Well, I'll see. I won't. I'll raise it another 20.
Harris? I'll double that.
Count me out.
Now, what are you doing, Letty?
Hey, you must be holding well. I'll level and see it. No, I won't. Just in case you're bluffing, I'll go another 20.
I'm not bluffing, friend. It'll cost you another 10, 20, 30, 40, 1, 2, 43 jollies to look at me. Yep, I'm cleaned out.
Must be some hand you got there, Harris.
It's going to cost Lefty there $43 to see it.
That's over $200 all told in the center.
Look at him, Lefty. I'd like to see what he's got.
You ought to know. You dealt him.
What do you mean by that, fella?
I'll tell you when I see the hands.
You accusing me of something?
Maybe. When I see the hands.
Why, you...
Sit back down there. I got the draw on you.
Hey, you fellas stand around. Grab him.
All of you keep back. Got any intention of doing anything? Wait till the game's over. Okay, friend Lefty. $43 to see your opponent's hand. I guess with a hand like yours, you want to see it, huh?
Sure. There you are. Now, what do you got?
Three queens. Full on aces. Well, let's see yours.
Well, that's bad luck, friend. I got a pair of aces, too. Only I've got three kings to go with them. Bad luck. Looks like the center's mine.
Was it bad luck on his part or good management on the dealer's part?
Just what are you trying to say, stranger?
I'm saying you, Mr. Dealer, and this fella here who just won the center are cheating.
You put your gun away and say that.
I will, after I explain to these folks what sort of tricks you've been up to.
Oh, you must be mistaken, mister. The two of them aren't even friends.
That's what they might tell you. But I've seen this stunt pulled off. And two fellas join a game at different times, pretend they don't know each other, but each one always deals the other a winning hand more times than not from the bottom of the deck.
Well, I never...
Put your gun away and say that, stranger.
Yeah. Wilson, show you we're not cheating. You'll be sorry you poked your big head into this. Back up your words with gunplay.
That's the way you want it. Stand aside, folks. All right. My gun's back in its holster. Now, which one of you fancies has got a faster draw, huh?
You interfering, sassy loudmouth.
We both did fire! You bust my hand!
It'll be all right. Thank the Lord above, you're still alive.
All right, quiet.
Now, you two fellas who are playing with him.
Yeah?
Share the kitty between you, and I recommend you keep your eyes open for tricks like these fellas play in future, huh?
Thanks, stranger. You'll be sorry for this, stranger.
Well, what's going on here? What was the shooting about?
Ah, the sheriff.
Where's the body?
There's no body.
Holster your gun, friend. Come on, jump to it. That's the way. Now, what's going on? Oh, jumped a sassy coyote, Lefty.
I couldn't do anything with my hand like it is.
You better get this fella calling himself Lefty to a dock, Sheriff, and then lock him and his pal up for a few days.
Who do you think you are to be giving me orders, stranger?
They were cheating at cards.
That's what he says, Sheriff. Who are you, stranger?
Well, I guess you can call me Curly, Sheriff.
Curly who?
Just plain Curly. I haven't done anything wrong.
And you'd better not while you're in this town. What's your business here?
Oh, just passing through. I intend to spend maybe a few days here and then head south.
You a gunman?
Nope.
Well, I'm warning you. Just keep those Colts in their holsters while you're here. If you draw them, you'd better have a good reason.
I'll make sure I have, Sheriff.
Okay. Now, keep the games friendly.
Hey, you're not taking these cheats to the Calaboose.
I've only got your word against theirs.
They were cheating, there's no doubt about that.
Hey, you must think you got a fast time, mister. We've been playing here for 2 or 3 hours and no one accused us of cheating.
I guess they have got a fast eye. Now take them away out of my sight, Sheriff. If you're not going to lock them up, railroad them.
I'll remind you again, stranger. I don't take orders from anyone. The only thing I'm going to do is give you some advice.
I'm listening.
If you want to live long here, you'd better tie a string around your tongue.
Yeah, loudmouth.
Come on, Lefty. I think we'll take a walk.
That's a good idea. I don't reckon you want it here.
You want to know something, stranger?
Yep, a few things.
Well, I'll tell you one of them. It's too late for you to take the sheriff's advice and tie a piece of string around your tongue.
Meaning what?
You ain't going to live long anyhow. Come on, Lefty.
Sure.
I go back to the bar for another sarsaparilla. While I'm drinking it, I got things to think about. First of all, the look that came over the sheriff's face when he first saw who I was holding at gunpoint. Yeah, it was the look of surprise. As if he'd known the men were cheats. Yet he defended them, dressed me down. Not that I didn't deserve it. Then secondly, I know I've seen the sheriff's face before many times. And I'm almost sure it was unwanted dodges. I wonder just what's going on.
Why, how do you mean, Wolf?
That fella who meddled with us in the bar.
Well, what about him? We are going to gun him down, ain't we?
Uh-huh. But he set me thinking. He's about the right height, right build. Wears his guns the same way. Fast as lightning on the draw. Has the same thick face and cold eyes.
As who?
As Matt Morgan, the marshal of Dodge City.
Matt Morgan? Hey, you don't figure this is a double cross, do you?
It better not be. But just the same, whether that fella's Morgan or not, he's opened his mouth too wide and interfered too much already.
Well, when are we going to get him?
Just as soon as he steps out of that saloon. We can wait across the street in that alley. Then as soon as we hit him, run for the back street and into the yard behind the sheriff's office.
But folks will know it was us who shot him.
Not when their trustworthy sheriff gives us an alibi. Says we've been with him in his office all the time.
Brilla, decide maybe I should pay a call on Sean Worris. The fellow sent me the letter asking me to come down here to Silver Peak. Step through the bad wings of the Greenhorn onto the boardwalk. I'm down behind the water trough just outside the saloon. I can't see where the shots are coming from. Movement on the busy street is stopped. I can see folk edging close to the walls of buildings on either side. I lift my head above the trough, but it doesn't draw any more fire. Peered to the side, still no more shots. And the fella comes edging along the boardwalk to me.
Mister?
Yeah?
You can stand up now. The fellas who were blazing away at you are gone. They ran up that alley opposite.
This a trick to make me stand up?
Why, no, mister.
He's telling the truth, friend. They're gone.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
What's up, shooting? Ah, it's you again. Drop your gun, stranger.
Look, Sheriff, 'twasn't his fault.
Drop him, I tell you. Did I tell you to keep your guns holstered? Who are you shooting at?
You got it wrong, Sheriff. I didn't even get a shot in.
He's speaking the truth, Sheriff.
You don't smell freshly shot, huh?
Chambers are full, that should tell you.
Then who was shooting at you? What's behind you, stranger, that you've caused so much trouble here in such a short time?
I figured it was the two gamblers in the saloon.
They beat it up that alley, Sheriff.
Any of you get a look at them? Then you wouldn't rightly be able to recognize them.
One of them looked like that gambling fella, Zimmerman. I don't know who the other fella was, though.
Well, a lot of fellas in this town look like Zimmer.
What sort of clothes were they wearing? What colors? Most of you must have seen that.
Well, one of them was wearing a black Stetson and a dark-colored shirt, maybe green, and black pants.
Yeah, that seems to fit one of the gamblers.
I'll ask the questions and decide who they were, stranger. You're in my charge. If the pipe down, you'll end up in the calaboose.
I haven't done anything, Sheriff. You can't have a charge against me.
You're a disturber of the peace. Now, you better get on your horse and ride. I'll give you till sundown, or you'll be in the calaboose.
Sheriff, he didn't do nothing.
He's a troublemaker. And Silver Peak's no place for one of them. It's a peaceful place, and it's going to stay that way.
At the expense of law and order?
Don't you talk to me like that, stranger. You've got till sunset to ride.
Gosh, you're mighty, Sheriff. You sure get off your horse easy these days.
And the trouble from you, Milt Atkins, and you'll be riding with them.
What about those two sneaking snipers, Sheriff? You going to let them off scot-free?
I'll check up on them, see if it was them. You only had yourself to blame anyway. You got their back.
Only because they were cheating.
And they probably thought they'd give you a scare.
That's a nice kind of scare, trying to murder me.
Oh, if they tried to murder you, you'd be dead by now. Whoever they were, they must have aimed to miss you, only scare you. The north trail's that end of town, the south the other. Take the one you want before sundown.
Sheriff marches off. The crowd goes about its business. I make my way down the boardwalk till I come to the general store owned by Sean Worris.
Well, like I told you in the letter, Marshal, the sheriff's letting gamblers and card sharps get away with everything but murder.
Mm-hmm.
And once I can remember, he wouldn't even let big-time gamblers near the town. Well, he's relaxed his laws awful sudden.
You said something about rustling in your letter, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of it going on around these parts. 15 to 20 head from here and there every night, every second night.
What's the sheriff doing about that?
Oh, he promised he'll find out where they're going to, but never has. And it's kind of strange that none's gone from Fred Ralston's here, though.
Why is that?
Well, of course, the sheriff's daughter, Julie, is about to marry Ralston's son. He's a very rich man, old Ralston. His son's going to come into a lot of money someday.
You don't suspect that the stolen beeves might be going into Ralston's herd?
Oh, no. Old Ralston's as straight as the day is long.
Well, you've been around here a lot longer than I have, Mr. Worris. What do you suspect?
Well, the way I see it, there's a group or a gang of fellas bribing or paying Sheriff Blake to overlook their crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, he's turned crooked and is accepting the payments. Otherwise, maybe they're holding something over
him. Did you say Sheriff Blake?
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the matter?
Nothing. Nothing at all. You said he has a daughter.
Yeah, Julie.
Has he any other children?
Well, he'll tell he had a son, left these parts before I arrived, though, the son.
Mm-hmm.
And I often hear folks in the street asking the sheriff if he ever hears from him, though. Pat, I think his name was.
I guess he'd be about 25, something like that?
Yeah, he's older than Julie, I know he was.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Mr. Worris.
Yeah, but Marshal, I haven't told you anything about the robberies or the claim jumping or the stolen silver ingots.
Well, you sure make the place sound lawless. I reckon you've told me enough. I don't know why other folks aren't like you, why they put up with the sheriff like he is, or why they haven't reported him.
Well, they all believe he's doing his best, and that's all they expect. But, I had a special reason for contacting you, Marshal.
What was that?
Well, you see, I got a daughter about the same age as the sheriff's daughter, Julie.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got no chance of marrying young Rawson unless it's proved Julie's father's crooked.
Sour grapes, you might call it then, Mr.
No, not really, Marshal. I just like to be sure that young Ralston isn't marrying the daughter of a crook rather than my daughter.
Well, I'll see what I can prove.
Well,
tells me the sheriff's surname is Blake. Rings a bell. So I go and see him.
You're not gone yet, stranger?
No, Sheriff. I want to have a word with you.
I've said all I'm going to say to you.
Sheriff, you see this badge?
A marshal?
Yeah, Morgan from Dodge. Now I'm closing the door.
You're not Morgan from Dodge. I've seen pictures of him.
Well, you'd find it easier to recognize me if I didn't have this growth of beard. I'm carrying papers to prove it.
Oh. What are you doing down here?
I was called down here to investigate your behavior.
My behavior?
Yeah. I reckon it leaves a lot to be desired. What do you think you're up to, Sheriff?
Who calls you down here?
That I'm not saying. But I'll tell you how much I know. You've got a son, he rides the Owl Hoot Trail.
How do you know that?
He's seen circulars and Dodges with his name and picture on.
They get as far as Dodge?
Yeah.
I should have guessed so. I've been tearing up everyone to get here, trying to keep the news from reaching folks.
Well, first I thought you were the outlaw. Your son looks so much like you, only younger. Anyway, to continue, about 4 months ago, your attitude towards outlaws changed. You start to close your eyes to their activities. Why? Are you being paid to do so, or is somebody blackmailing you to keep your son's reputation on the quiet?
Huh? Why would anyone want to blackmail me?
Well, I know your daughter's engaged to be married to a young fellow called Ralston. I don't think her dad would let the marriage go on if he knew your son was a bandit and a wanted murderer. All right, I'm a sheriff.
Perfectly right so far. What else do you know?
Nothing. Now I'm asking you to fill in everything else. I'm asking you to tell the truth. I appreciate difficulties a sheriff like you might encounter, and I'd like to help you. If I can, and if you want me to.
I don't need no help, Marshal. Thanks all the same, but I sure feel a fool treating you like it is.
Forget about that.
But you gotta understand that you was interfering in my plans.
Mm-hmm. What plans were they?
Plans to trap Zimmer and his gang.
Trap him? Didn't look that way to me.
I hope it didn't look that way to anybody.
Zimmer, he was a card player, wasn't he? Left his pal?
Left his boss.
Okay, go on.
Well, Marshal, about 4 months ago, I was working late in the office here when Pat, my son, turned up. Zimmer was with him.
Mm-hmm.
I knew all about Pat's antics since he left home, and I wanted to arrest him there and then, only Zimmer was smart. He'd planned things and struck a bargain.
What sort of a bargain?
He leads a gang, though nobody knows it. One of the cleverest gangs in the West. They have a finger in every pie. He's got men organized everywhere.
Huh.
Well, where there's a boom town like Silver Peak, now that the mining's really caught on, they move in. Some of them as teams of card shops. Others buy up ranches cheap when the owners get the craze to mine, and then they rustle from neighboring ranches to build up their herds. Others are organized into looting bands, robbing the Wells Fargo coach, taking the ingots to Frisco. All sorts of tricks like that. And the amazing part about the organization, none of them ever let on that they know each other.
What was this bargain that was struck?
Well, Zimmer and Pat explained that they were going to let me in on their operations, provided I gave them a free hand. They even offered to pay me $200 a month to leave them be.
You accept it?
Let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
They told me that if I tried to stop him, there was nothing surer than that I'd be killed. And the secret that Pat was an outlaw would be let out to everyone in town, especially old rancher Ralston, so that he'd never let his son marry Julie. And, Marshal, I didn't care much about myself, but I did want Julie to have happiness more than anything else in the world.
So you agreed?
Well, I felt I had to, Marshal.
I can understand, Sheriff.
Only when I had time to think, I realized I was doing the wrong thing, and I thought of a way to trap Zimmer and his gang, and I've been putting it into practice.
What's that? How?
Well, I've carried out their instructions. Helped them all I can, as you probably saw this afternoon.
Yeah.
But I've been keeping an eye on them all. Even though I didn't know all the members of the gang when Zimmer started up here, now I know most of them. I know who's got the stolen silver ingots and the rustled cattle. I've been telling folks all along that I had to get their goods back.
Yeah, I heard that.
But it appears some of them didn't believe me.
What was your plan?
Well, once I found out who most of them were, I made plans to trap them all, or as many as possible, in the one place at the one time. I've arranged for a large shipment of ingots to go on out of the Wells Fargo coast tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I've told Zimmer to have all his boys waiting out along the trail to expect it.
Mm.
I told him he'd need nearly all his men to carry the ingots away. I've told him there'll only be two guards. Two guards, you see. Mm. And I'm making sure the coach is full of fellas I can trust. And I'm hoping that, well, we'll round up the whole gang.
Well, Sheriff, that's right smart. Guess you've got a few apologies coming, the first one from me.
And you've got one coming from me for the way I treated you.
Think nothing of it.
Well, what now? You gonna let my secret out?
Nope. The only thing I'm doing is applying for a place in that Wells Fargo coach tomorrow. I guess you'll all be glad to know the sheriff's plan worked to perfection. Zimmer had all his men out along the trail, ambushed the coach, but sure got a surprise when he found it empty of silver and full of men. The sheriff shot his son, Pat, in the gun battle that followed, and it seemed a great weight had been lifted from his mind. The only sad thing about the whole business was the sheriff's face when he lost his daughter to Rancher Ralston's son a couple of months later. And I guess any man feels a mite sad when he gives his daughter away.
Join us again next week as Matt Morgan fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Gunsmoke is written by Russ Ryder and produced by Jim Bradley for Odd Transit.